Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Son,
has confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the fathers, and who, in the voices that came down from the bright cloud, did in a wonderful manner foreshow the adoption of sons, mercifully vouchsafed to make us co-heirs with the King of His glory, and bring us to the enjoyment of the same. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Is this working? Can you hear me? Our confession reading for this morning, which was submitted to His Majesty Charles V at the Imperial Meeting at Augsburg. The chief article of the faith is Article 12 of Repentance. Of repentance, they teach that for those who have fallen after baptism, there is remission of sin whenever they are converted, and that the Church ought to impart absolution to those thus returning to repentance. Now, repentance consists properly of these two parts. One is contrition, that is, errors submitted to the conscience through the knowledge of sin. The other is faith, which is born of the gospel, or of the absolution, and believers that for Christ's sake sins are forgiven, comforts the conscience, and delivers it from terrors. Then good works are bound to follow, which are the fruits of repentance. They condemn the Anabaptists, who deny that those once justified can lose the Holy Ghost. Also those who contend that some may attain to such perfection in this life that they cannot sin. The Novatians are also condemned, who would not absolve such as had fallen after baptism, though they had returned to repentance. They also are rejected, who do not teach that the remission of sins comes through faith, but commanded us to merit grace through sanctifications of our own. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So far the Old Testament reading. This morning's epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses to His Majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word from the prophets, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So far, the epistle lesson.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answering Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were very afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, don't be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. So far the Holy Gospel. May we confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with my Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the great and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I come not one man baptized for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with our sermon hymn. Please be seated. Thank you.
sermon theme for this morning is the Transfiguration of Christ. And it's based upon our gospel lesson, and I would like to read two verses of Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain apart. And there he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his clothing was white as light. So far, please be seated. Throughout the history of Holy Scripture, many great events have occurred on mountaintops. When the flood subsided, Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat. God tested Abraham's faith with instructions to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush on Mount Horeb. Also the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. From this morning's gospel, we learn that the transfiguration of Christ took place on a mountain, possibly Mount Hermon. We are told that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain, and while there, Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. An actual change in Christ himself took place. The body of the human nature of Christ was glorified. Christ's entire body, for a very brief moment, was allowed to shine forth with the light of heavenly glory. We are also told that Moses and Elijah appeared and that they spoke to Christ. The topic of their conversation, what we learned from St. Luke, was the approaching death of Christ. Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets. Every scripture of the Old Testament was accepted only through the sacrifice of Christ, who was to come. Every hope given by the prophets rested on Christ's fulfillment. This moment of the transfiguration called for reverent silence. But Peter, as we know, didn't have the gift of silence. And he made a very foolish remark. Peter suggested that three permanent tabernacles be built, one for Christ, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter was so overwhelmed, he didn't really know what he was saying. And while he was still talking, the voice of God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Listen to what he says. The disciples were filled with fear. Having heard that voice coming from heaven, they fell to the ground. It was then that Jesus reassured them with the words, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. He was before them again as they were accustomed to seeing him. Now the transfiguration certainly had a great meaning for Jesus. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, had been sent into this world on a great, great mission, a mission of grace, a mission of forgiveness, a mission that would involve the salvation of the world, a mission that would also involve his death. To accomplish it, Christ was made subject to the moral law for us. This he was to fulfill. He was to make atonement before God. At the transfiguration, God the Father said of God the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." From these words, we learn that the Heavenly Father approved the work that Christ had come to do and was in the process of doing that very moment. His entire work of redemption was rapidly approaching. Christ's suffering and his death were looming in the near future. By laying down his life for sinners, Christ was doing something which was well-pleasing to God the Father. For Jesus, it was reassuring to have his Father speak of him in this pleasant manner. The entire work of redemption, while accomplished for us by the Son of God, was also the work on the part of the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was harmony among the persons of the Holy Trinity, as well as the manner in which Christ was carrying out this work. The transfiguration of Christ was a stamp of approval which the Holy Trinity placed on the God-man Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. The purpose of this presence of the three disciples was not to support Christ necessarily or in any way enhance the transfiguration. It was not for Christ's sake that he took them along. It was rather for their sake. It did not bolster or strengthen them in the days ahead, because when Jesus was taken captive and condemned and crucified, they all ran away in fear. But after the day of Pentecost, it did aid them to preach Christ with a greater conviction. After Pentecost, Peter, James, and John went forth preaching about the Lord of glory. Also, the transfiguration of Christ emphasizes certain truths for us, which we are to believe and by which we are to live and die. First of all, it establishes for us that Christ is the Son of God. It was on this occasion that God the Father, referring to Jesus, said, "This is my beloved Son." And while we should think of Christ as true man, we should never forget that Christ, the Christ of Nazareth, the Christ of Gethsemane, the Christ of Calvary, was and is the eternal Son of God, true God in human flesh. Secondly, it establishes for us that Jesus is the one and only mediator between God and us. God the Father says to us concerning his Son, "Hear ye him." Listen to what he has to say. It's not enough to adore Christ in his glory. We must listen to his voice and his teachings. We are to, with trusting faith, believe in Christ as our Savior, serving him with a holy life. Thirdly, it establishes for us that Jesus is our sufficient Savior. God the Father sent his Son for one purpose, namely to save us from our sins, eternal death, and damnation in hell. God the Father was satisfied with the work that Jesus was doing and did. He approved of his life and of his suffering and of his death. Christ's work was satisfactory to God the Father, and therefore the salvation that he completed was sufficient. God's wrath against sin was appeased. God's holy law had been fulfilled. The establishment of these great truths is of vital importance to every believer in Christ. The transfiguration of Christ, therefore, has great meaning for us today, for it establishes our hope, strengthens our faith. The transfigured Christ is also the transfiguring Christ. Christ not only did something for us, but he also desires to do something in us. He makes us new creatures. As the Holy Scriptures declare, if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. And by nature, we are not on a high mountaintop. By nature, we are in a valley of sin, sinful desires of all kinds, which brings about sinful actions. We must be transformed, but cannot do this on our own. No amount, no effort will move us upward to God one inch. But faith in Christ lifts us above the valley of evil through the forgiveness of sins. Finally, the day will come when we will share God's heaven and be partakers of God's glory. The image of God will be fully restored in us, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God, through his grace, grant this to each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for our communicants, but first we have a prayer request on behalf of Todd Boski. He's recovering from cancer surgery. I think we all know that. And we pray that everything works out well, that they got everything that was necessary to take. And by the grace of God, he will recover completely. So let us keep Todd and Michelle in our prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of Todd, who is recovering from surgery. It was a very serious type of surgery, but we realize that your grace can outweigh any surgery or any seriousness that we may have to, that we may confront. We're asking that if it is your will, that the surgery be successful and the cancer totally eradicated from his body. We want to thank you, first of all, for bringing Todd and Michelle into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because where there is faith in Christ, there is the forgiveness of sins and the guarantee of eternal life. So we turn Todd over to your care, Father. We know that he is in good hands. First of all, he is in yours. And he's in the hands of some excellent doctors. So we pray that his recovery will be successful and comfortable. We approach your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Almighty and everlasting God, and now do we praise thee that you did send us your only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in the fashion of a man, has manifested the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ. under our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord bless you and keep you in the state of grace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in the state of grace and protection. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in the state of grace and protection. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you in his grace and protection. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body. Part of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Body, blood, strength, and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. body and blood strength to preserve you, keep you, the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Same faith in toward thee and in fervent love for one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord. Upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.